Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:08 British Summertime. Today is April 8th. Well, today's been a rather mixed day in terms of stock market performance. We saw that the vast majority of Europe closed relatively quietly, with most of it up on the day, but not up by much. And in Asia, we saw a very mixed performance where we saw the Nikkei down over 2%, the Hang Seng down over 3%. China was relatively, well, came down by about 3% as well today. But India, on the other hand, had a very impressive upward dynamic, having been actually down on the day earlier in the session. And that can only be explained by short covering from the news flow that I've seen. India is a very interesting case here because the technology shares around the world have been performing, and India is relatively tech heavy, but had been underperforming. It broke upwards last week, and today's performance is really improving upon that position quite substantially. Another reason, of course, to be interested in India is because the rupee, which had moved to significant new lows over the last few months, does appear to be firming up and could easily have bottomed in this type of scenario. And you look at the Indian market, it hasn't fallen, well, it's held up relatively well over the last few months and broke upwards last week, showing relative strength at the moment. And the very fact that it had such a remarkable performance today against a background of a weak Wall Street close last night and the rest of Asia coming down rather heavily, then we see that there is something to draw our attention towards the Indian market, and it is certainly one to watch, particularly if the dollar is topping out against the rupee in here, as appears to be the case. Wall Street is closing out the day with the S&P up over 1%, the Nasdaq up almost 2%, and we continue to see that the impressive gain that we've had over the last 4 weeks, there it's being held on to with a little bit of a drawdown over the last few days, an improvement in here today. And of course, we're heading up towards the Easter holiday, and we're heading into the earnings reporting season for the first quarter, and that has already begun. So there's the impressive move that we've had, and the move of by certain investors to take the profit while they can see it, because lots of people have been conditioned to do just that over the course of the last 6 or 7 months or so, and indeed longer than that in a number of indices. And as we head into the Easter break, we can probably expect the markets to be relatively quiet. As these earnings come through, unless we have surprises to the upside, I don't think people are going to be massively surprised if we have disappointing earnings, because that is well priced into the market already. We continue to see that investment bank analysts are scaling back their forecasts for what earnings are going to be into the from the first quarter and into the second quarter, and they're looking for the situation to improve towards the end of the year. And there is a consensus view that the worst of this recession will be behind us by the time we get to the tail end of 2009. Of course, we would expect stock markets to bottom before the recession ends, and there is a very good argument to say that a number of these Asian markets and some of those Latin American markets have bottomed and are showing relative strength. But the case is not yet made for the Dow or the S&P, or indeed for a number of those European indices. Now, the failed downside break that we had feeding through from March, and then this rally over the last couple of weeks, is certainly a preliminary signal that we could be towards an important bottom for these markets. And there is now, over the last 3 days, when we've seen that markets have pulled back by a couple of percent, we're getting more and more of these reports that this is a bear market rally, get back into shorting rallies, and it remains to be seen whether markets can hold on to the majority of this good advance. And it will take over a week to figure that out, because we have this break coming up over the week, over the long weekend. There is certainly the possibility that the convalescence that one would expect in the US and in Europe is likely to take longer than that in a number of these emerging markets, for the simple reason that the US and Europe was so much closer and was so much more over-leveraged in terms of the banking sector and exposed to the credit crisis than a lot of these Asian economies, that it's just going to take time for these economies to get sorted out. And in the meantime, as liquidity is continuing to be pumped into the global economy, it's going to find its way into the best fundamental stories, and the vast majority of those are probably going to be found in a number of these emerging markets. When we also start to look at the trade-weighted indices of currencies, we can see that the Australian dollar's trade-weighted index appears to be bottoming out. That would suggest that the Australian dollar is going to get stronger from here. Of course, that's going to take time and it's not all going to be in one direction, but it does appear to have bottomed. And it does look like the yen has topped out. And again, that is not all going to be one-way action, but these are important moves that we're seeing in these markets. Another interesting one is the Norwegian crown, because Norway doesn't have problems with budget deficits, and they do have good governance, and they don't have a bad banking system. But their currency was hit remarkably hard as oil came off and does now appear to be bottoming out relative to the dollar. And while the yield differential between the dollar and the crown isn't particularly wide, with interest rates in Norway at about 2%, it is wide enough to be a positive for anyone going long of the crown, and it does look like that is a currency that is going to get stronger over the coming weeks and months. But the big one is going to be the dollar, because so many of these emerging currencies got so much weaker against the dollar as the credit crisis and insolvency crisis unfolded. And if the dollar is topping out, gradual as it may be here, then these currencies are cheap and the stock markets are fundamentally considerably cheaper than the markets of Western Europe, or indeed Eastern Europe for that matter, and the USA. So there is a double whammy in terms of the bullish argument for some of these Asian and Latin American countries. And I think that it is only a matter of time before investors begin to reassess the relative risks that there are out there in the market. Because even though the US is seen as a safe, or the US dollar or treasuries are being used as a safe haven when people become nervous, well, there's a frightful amount of paper being printed and being pumped into the system, and quantitative easing is not a healthy policy for any government to implement and is really only put in place in the most drastic of circumstances. And we continue to see that government bond prices are really looking under pressure in here. Treasuries have so far failed to rally, even though quantitative easing has been announced in the USA, and gilts have also been relatively weak, although they continue to be the strongest of government bond markets. But JGBs in Japan are coming down heavily, and it does appear now that the Australian 10-year bond is in the early stages of a new downtrend and does have plenty of room to give up some of the remarkable gain that it posted all the way up to that peak back in, was it January? I can't remember exactly. So government bonds appear to be under pressure, and it does appear that the dollar is in a topping out phase, although this top it does appear to be gradual, and there is a significant war going on between supply and demand, as the arguments between the bulls and the bears remain highly and hotly contested. Going forward, we also look at these commodities, and copper remains remarkably consistent. It was relatively quiet in here today, down 1 cent, but consolidating in the region of this $2 level. On the other hand, copper traded in Shanghai was up on the day quite significantly and is breaking upwards from its most recent trading range. So we continue to see that Chinese buying is pushing this market higher, and there's nothing has happened to shake out the bulls in this market, and it remains consistent. Platinum was a bit stronger in here today, up $7, but a very similar pattern to copper, although a bit more consistent in terms of the length of the consolidations and the size of the advances. But nothing again has happened in the platinum market to shake anyone who is long out of their positions, and certainly the one would favor the upside in the platinum market. But silver and gold remain in this awkward phase, and silver consolidating above $12 and up marginally in here today, and gold in the had a good day yesterday, but remains cons in this ranging phase below $1,000, and really does need to push back above that level to suggest that demand is regaining the upper hand. With that, we can look at these industrial metals, barring copper, and say that the base formation characteristics that we're seeing appear to be the real thing, and with copper, lead, and zinc leading on the upside, these markets are suggesting, well, they led back in 2003, and they appear to be leading once more. And with that, I think I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time.